superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Look at it. Look at it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
He's going to take it the length of the court, puts it up with a left hand. Who needs James Harden?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
So what do you make of all this, Richard, with Harden?
Sometimes players do this to show people this is what you're going to get if you're going to keep me someplace that I don't want to be.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Brian Baldinger, ESPN announcer Chris Fowler, six-time Pro Bowl receiver Chad Ochocinco Johnson. Coming up, actor Scott Glenn. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show here on the air on the Friday of week 15 in the NFL that began last night with the final Thursday night game of the year where the Chargers beat the Raiders in the very end of overtime of a, Monday's game, the wrap-up week 14, it was a wildly entertaining game. Last night was, it was choppy, it was touch and go, but it did go into overtime. The Chargers did their usual head-scratching play calling inside the five-yard line, and then they also did some head-scratching field goals, or head-pounding field goals. But they win, and they stick it to the Raiders, which is what you do to a division rival. And the Raiders are now 7-7, a big win for the Cleveland Browns, a huge win for the Cleveland Browns, because the Raiders had a head-to-head tiebreak on Cleveland. And now the Raiders are 2.5 games behind Cleveland with 3 to go. So that would be it's a big problem for the Raiders, as the Ravens are the team that's coming from that sniffing it group that has a significant shot of making the playoffs right now. Certainly with it, the way that they're playing and they're taking on Jacksonville, that's something I'll be talking about later on this hour, and three games under the radar. We just had our usual Friday higher register segment here, and it was our best one yet. I think it's our best one yet. Chris Brockman, you looked at the video from earlier this week of Charlie Woods swinging just like his daddy. On the range.
Impeccable.
And you took the outstanding sports take of seeing this video, of seeing him at such a young age having the same swing as his father, and the higher register of you saying, hey, maybe
he could be better than Tiger.
I mean, fantastic. I love that. And then TJ Jefferson, you follow up with that. You guys didn't know what your higher registers are, right? You didn't know?
No.
And you went with another father, whose progeny is already professionally well-known, LeVar Ball, yes, saying that LaMelo is going to lead the NBA in assists and dimes, and you've nicknamed him what?
The Snitch.
Because
he drops dimes.
Okay, very good.
You like that?
Very good.
I love it.
And then I followed up with what I'd like to think is the topper, because you guys didn't see the first ever non-sports take in higher register coming, which was based on our new YouTube header that TJ Jefferson, you were added to about a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And your outsized presence on the YouTube header is something that Chris Brockman, on a text exchange amongst all of us, has taken umbrage to, that he thinks that you're actually not that much bigger than him in the YouTube header photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And my IRS is maybe Brockman really is very upset. And then you confirmed that you are, in fact, very upset about this YouTube header.
My beef is not with TJ's height. He is a tall man. He's a big guy. He's bigger than us. My beef is that you and I are the same height, and yeah, I'm smaller than you in the photo, and then Mike is way shorter than both of us.
No, Mike.
And he is even with us.
A couple inches.
So your issue is that TJ's size being bigger than you accentuates the improper sizing of you in relation to Mike Del Tufo. That's what you're saying.
Correct.
Huh. And you said as part of evidence is a photograph that the three of us took with Shaquille O'Neal at our Super Bowl show in Atlanta. And there's that photograph.
A little. Shaq's got his arm around.
Now, T.J. Jefferson has been added on top of Shaq's body. By, I think this is a Sean Mitchell.
That's definitely Smitch.
Well done.
Fantastic.
Well, well done.
That's fantastic.
Because that's... That is exaggerating how much bigger TJ is in the YouTube header
Smitch,
now.
Smitch, I need that picture, man.
But
as you can see in the Shaq photo, you and I, Rich, are clearly the same size.
And I'm scrouching.
And Mike is like 4 or 5 inches shorter than
no,
us.
No, I'm not.
How are you scrouching
down? I'm not
4 or 5 inches.
I'm not 5'6". My father was 5'6". I am 5'10".
Yeah, you are, he does have a little bit. You
I just
are,
got
you're not standing
the
up
doctor.
Straight.
Mike.
You're not
you're 5'10", like Tom Cruise is 5'10",
no.
Okay.
I'm 5'10". I am scrouching down a little. If you,
but,
I go you, up,
but Brockman is standing up much straighter
exactly,
than you are.
Exactly. If I go straight up, I'm 5'10". I scratch down all the time.
Do we have to do, like, the problem is you're not masked up, and I don't want you standing close to each other, you know, on the set here. But maybe what we do is we mask you up later on.
No, we'll go measure in the back hallway, and we'll, like, do, like,
measure in the back hallway.
Mike,
how about go back to back?
We have 8 cameras out here.
No, I know, but we need to do, like, a little pencil. Rich, man.
Mike's getting upset.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not. The call drop.
I'm not 4 inches shorter than Brockman. That's what I'm saying. If he's 6 feet,
hey, Rich,
that makes me 5'6".
I got to be honest, man. When you started your higher register and you were like, TJ, glad to have you here. I was like, oh, this dude's letting me go right now. can we do this after the show, bro?
TJ,
my mom's watching.
TJ.
No, I've already gotten fired once after a show, Rich. I don't want to have to go through that again.
TJ, was it right after that Shaq show?
Yes, it was after that show, as a matter of fact. So I don't want that.
Yeah, but you're still here.
I am.
And to be honest with you, I'll just be straight up with you. It's 2020. If you're ever going to be fired, I will do it by tweet.
Okay? Well, that's the way to go about it. Yes.
I won't do it on the show.
I was like, we got another hour, Rich. Just let me finish the day.
Fantastic.
I mean, we got to post the whole higher register. That really is that's our finest. We set the bar very high.
That might be my new favorite picture, by the way, too.
Well done. I was trying to come up with a bonus one. I'm like, I'm out.
No.
Mike, shout out.
Adios. Like you say this for the
next year. Bump chump.
This photo is so funny.
Bump chump out.
All right. Scott Glenn, the actor Scott Glenn, is going to be joining us in about 14 minutes time. Oh, my gosh. What movie do I ask him about first? I got to go Silence of the Lambs, right? And then Hunt for Red October?
Yeah. I never even put up that poll question today.
Didn't somebody – who told us who was on Hunt for – who was in Hunt for Red October who's been on this show before? It was
– did we have
– oh.
He told us a story about Sean Connery having a throat problem.
Oh, the plays the radar operator. What's his name? Oh my God, look it up.
Oh yeah, he
yes, I'm looking right
now. You guys are idiots. I can't believe I'm blanking on his name anyway either.
But he
told us that he played
he talks to Glenn to Scott in the movie,
right?
Oh, was it Courtney B. Vance?
Yes, yes, Courtney B. Vance. Yes. Thank you.
My God, he's been on twice or whatever. I'm sorry. I'm at the end of a week, and, you know.
Courtney B. Vance, yes.
Courtney B. Vance.
Yeah, we had Courtney B. Vance on the show, and he said he told us the story of that that Sean Connery was complaining of too much smoke on the set, right? Because of the smoke that they would have filling up the
Right.
Anyway, that's my long-winded way of saying I can't wait to ask him about Hunt for Red October.
I thought that was your Connery impression.
He also told a story that I need to ask him. That he was in the movie Apocalypse Now after he saved Francis Ford Coppola's life or something like that.
That'd be a great way to get in a movie, right?
I mean, he's Alan Shepard. The right stuff, right?
Movie was great.
I mean,
Training Day.
Tom Wolfe's right stuff. You're acting as Alan Shepard. I mean, Training Day, that's right. How do we not ask him about Training Day?
So, his IMDb page.
Oh, my gosh. Incredible. So, anyway, that's coming up. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Christopher, you ready for your news update over there?
I got something.
All right, hit it, please. That's right here on the Rich Eisen Show. My apologies for making you think like you are maybe no longer on the show.
Because it's Friday? That's what happens?
Stop.
You fire people on Fridays.
Here we go. Let's go on the Rich Eisen.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
Hi, Chris Brockman.
Oh, wait, I want to post this poll real quick. We're doing what's the best movie Scott Glenn is in.
Okay.
Silence of the Lambs, Training Day, Hunt for Red October. Now, what's the fourth? Is it Backdraft or is it the right stuff?
So the three movies are
Silence of the Lambs, right. Training Day, Hunt for Red October. Now, what's the fourth? Is it Backdraft or is it the right stuff?
The right stuff's
old school. I think that would, but it's. I mean, it's great, and he's amazing.
I was thinking Backdraft is a little more the speed of our listeners.
I don't know, brother. I love The Right Stuff, and I'm the host of this show, and I love it. But I don't really nail it when it comes to that sort of stuff. I mean, I thought we were going to go with the Bourne movies.
Yeah, he's in the Bourne movies too. Yeah, sure.
I mean, if you want to go big film, I would take the Bourne movie. I haven't seen Backdraft in forever and a day. But just post it, and then go ahead and let's get to your news update right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, getting to the news update. Did you see the news this morning, guys? Looks like the big Sunday afternoon game. Chiefs, Saints. It's going to be Patrick Mahomes versus Drew Brees after all.
All righty.
Adam Schefter saying that Brees is starting. The Saints believe Brees is fully healthy and doctors have cleared him to play. Jameis Winston will continue to be the number two. Should Brees go down again, Jameis will go in. Taysom Hill is going to be back to his jack of all trades role,
all right,
including some plays at quarterback. Big game between Washington and Seattle.
It is that.
This week as well. It's going to be Dwayne Haskins starting for the Washington football team. Man. They have ruled out Alex Smith due to his calf injury. Russell Wilson versus Dwayne Haskins.
Hey, man, the biggest game of Dwayne Haskins' life. I'll tell you that. Biggest game of Dwayne Haskins' life. No other way to put it. And, you know, I'll hit this a little bit later on in the show. What else you got over there, Christopher?
Just a couple of injuries as we head into the weekend. Julio Jones is out, already ruled out for Atlanta versus Tampa. Mike Gesicki.
How many games has he missed this year?
A lot.
He can't stay healthy. I mean, I know it's like a third rail subject, and I
hamstring.
I know that Ocho Cinco is saying he's one of the best receivers in the league, and his body of work is amazing. He had one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history that no one will talk about right, because they didn't win. They blew the lead. Right. That's what everybody talks about. But that catch he made, that's when I thought this is actually going to happen for Atlanta. The guy can't stay healthy. He cannot stay healthy. And it's a killer.
Yeah, it's a killer. Killer for that team. You know, they had obviously high hopes heading into the year. A couple of Dolphins injuries. Mike Gesicki and Devontae Parker are questionable. Lions notes. Looks like they might be close to shutting down Kenny Galladay. There's another guy supposed to have a monster year and hasn't played at all.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford not going to practice today, but is going to travel with the team to Tennessee.
All right, so that means he's still in the
so
mix.
So there is a hope that he could play as well.
And Myles Gaskin is still expected to miss one more on the COVID-19
list.
It's
still going to be DeAndre Washington.
Well, okay. Or Ahmed might return, Breida might return too. Keep an eye on all that.
One note for the San Francisco 49ers. The team has confirmed their Week 17 game against Seattle on January 3rd is going to be played in Arizona. Santa Clara County has extended its restrictions on contact sports, so they're going to play that game in Arizona.
Let me tell you why what's happening right there. I got to gather my thoughts here. It's so tough. I mean, we're seeing it right now with what's, you know, Notre Dame is saying that they're not going to play in a game that
we're going to hear from Brian Kelly in a second.
You know what I mean? And that's all one and the same here. But what this means for the 49ers, who have been in Arizona and they played two games in Arizona, as we know, they lost to Buffalo and then lost to the Washington football team. And they've been practicing in Arizona all week for Dallas. And then they've got a game in Arizona in week 16. And then their final game against Seattle is in Arizona. What this means is the 49ers, who left to go to Arizona for their week 13 game against Buffalo, when they said goodbye to their families, they will not be home for Christmas. Literally. Will not. Will not be home for Christmas and won't be home for New Year's. either. The next time they see their family is when they fly home after that game against Seattle. That's it. And I know they're professional players in many people's minds, and, you know, I'm particularly sensitive to it because, you know, I've been around football players and gotten to know many of them and gotten to know them as humans. They have to be devastated. I mean, absolutely devastated. The coaching staff, everybody in that front office, to call up their families and say, guess what? This pandemic has got to end. Please, everybody, do what you have to do to all band together for real. I mean, we saw the vice president of the United States today with a mask on and a message about masking up behind him, and he got stuck with the vaccine. Please, everyone, I don't want to be viewed this as political. Mask up when you can. And when you're around others, go through the protocols. It stinks. It's terrible. We just got to get through it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just have to do it. The 49ers are literally, they will not be home for Christmas, and they will not be home for New Year's. And I know it's a job, and I know they're well paid for it, but this is, they have to be devastated. The families, the kids waiting for dad to come home have to be devastated. I'm so sorry to hear this. You got Brian Kelly over there?
Yeah,
Chris?
Yeah, Rich, you mentioned Brian Kelly's quotes on the top of the show. Here is Brian Kelly from that Zoom today with Notre Dame.
I'm not sure we'll play in the playoffs if parents can't be there, to be honest with you. Why would we play if you can't have the families at the game? So a bowl game, yeah, we would opt out. If you can't have families at bowl games, I mean, why would you go to a game where your families can't be part of it? What's the sense of playing a game, you know, in an area of the country where, you know what I mean, nobody can be.
So we just we lost the feed right there. Look, Brian Kelly's been on the show. I think he's I always enjoy the conversations with him. I think he's, you know. I mean, what does that mean that the families can the families be around their kids before they play a game anyway? I mean,
what if they're doing a road?
I don't
game?
Know. I honestly don't understand. Like that the families will there. Be there. I mean, then what? I mean, you can't even have the kids around their families if they're flying in because you got to play another game if you win. I don't understand the thought process. I know about having everybody together and having the families who have bought in and sent their kids to him for him to take care of them. He takes that with the utmost of seriousness, but I don't understand what that means. Like I pointed out, the California is shutting it down. And they are making exceptions in other cases for certain businesses that are upsetting, rightfully so, a bunch of businesses that are told, hey, spend thousands of dollars. You can't have indoor dining. Spend thousands of dollars to make outdoor dining possible. And now we're saying no outdoor dining. But, hey, if you're shooting a movie right around the corner, have us, you know, set up a tent. Hey, nobody can gather out here. Nobody can gather out here except, you know, Notre Dame can because they're playing a game and it's, you know, outdoors and it's a stadium. I mean, and the issue is the Rose Bowl. I mean, we got to get through this pandemic. Let's get done with it. Everybody do your job. To use that phrase, right? Do you got one more item over there, Chris, or no?
Just some Charles Barkley quotes about Kyrie.
All right, I want to hit that later on because he went, if you will, all in on Kyrie.
They're really good.
You know, I mean, you know, I know we like having fun here and whatever, but the real world certainly, you know, crashes in, and I'll talk about it. That's why I was on John Holloman's podcast on the recount this week, you know, and we talked about that quite a bit. Let's take a break. I'm a huge fan of this man's work, and I couldn't be more excited to talk to Scott Glenn, whose new film, Greenland, is an action past disaster thriller available on demand everywhere today. And he'll be with us in just 2 minutes.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve and white or heather gray. We've got hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of Joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now.
Just in time for the holidays, everybody. RichEisenStore.com. Go ahead and do that. We had a great day yesterday in terms of our growing business, I guess, that we're conducting here every day. Westwood One is going to be the home of our podcast in short order. If you're still getting our podcast from our friends at Podcast One, that's the way it's going to be for at least the next couple weeks. And then we switch over to our new label at Westwood One and Podcast Shingle. I'll be doing a new podcast there called Just Getting Started with news and folks from news and business and the world of sports and entertainment about how they got their careers started. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be coming in February. So that's the business of our show. And we are here on NBC Sports on Peacock every single day. And our radio simulcast on Sirius XM and the Mightier 1090 here on the Rich Eisen Show. Are we back yet, Mike Del Tufo? We're back here on the Mightier 1090 here on the Rich Eisen Show. So we're one big happy simulcast family. And I couldn't, I love doing shows like this because I get to speak to people who I've been watching for so long in so many great movies and doing such a great job of doing it. And he's part of a new action-packed disaster thriller that stars Gerard Butler called Greenland, available on demand everywhere today. The actor Scott Glenn here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming on here on this show. What was your first gig? What was your first gig, Scott? Walk me through that. Talk about origins and how you get started.
My first gig was understudying an off-Broadway play, one of the many redos of Zeus Story, Edward Albee. And I never went on stage. I understudied both parts, a two-character play, and neither of them ever got sick, so I never went on stage. The first job that people would probably either might or might not know is the first film I did, which was called The Baby Maker, directed by Jim Bridges, who a few years later directed me in Urban Cowboy, which kind of gave me my life.
But before all that, too, Apocalypse Now, correct, with Francis Ford Coppola. Is it true that you saved his life? Is that a fact, Scott Glenn?
Well, kind
ish?
Of.
Ish?
Ish, yeah. I got to the Philippines to play a small part in that in Apocalypse, and 2 days after I got there, we were hit with the worst typhoon to have hit the Philippines since 1932. It was called Typhoon Didang. And about 2 or 3 days later, the way a force majeure works is you can't just say, oh, we've been trashed by a typhoon and we can't continue, so you got to give us your money. What happens is an insurance adjuster has to show up and see that, in fact, you're trying to shoot but can't. So the day that they were going to do that was a scene that was going to be it was like a little brook that had turned into a whitewater because of the typhoon. And Francis and the insurance adjuster and the DP, like 4 or 5 guys, got in this boat to go out onto this whitewater. And they tied a rope on the back of the boat to, I guess their idea was to pull the boat back to shore if the water was too rough. And I saw what they were doing. I was maybe 50 yards away. I saw what they were doing and realized that the stream would take the boat right downstream. The rope would pull the back of the boat down. The boat would sink and they would be stuck swimming or drowning or doing whatever you do in whitewater.
Right.
So when they let the boat go, I was fairly recently out of the Marine Corps, and I always had a knife on me. So I saw it happen, and I just instinctively pulled out the knife and ran and cut the rope. And, you know, later on that night, Francis said, "You saved my life." And, you know, whether I did or not, I don't know. It was just kind of an instinctive move. I cut a piece of rope is all I did.
Okay. So you're saying, yeah, Colonel Kurtz wasn't the only one to maybe almost go up the river on that movie, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Did you come across Brando at any point, or you just never did?
I did indeed. Francis, because of that event, and I kind of helped out during the, you know, getting ourselves together after the typhoon. Francis said, I'm a really great writer, and I owe you, so let me write you a better part than you came here to do. Just think of something you'd like to do, and we'll sit down and, you know, we'll knock it off over the next two or three days. And I said, I want to be in the end of the movie. And he said, Scott, I'm sorry, that's the only part of the film I can't. It's completely cast. He said, I mean, you could play Captain Colby, the guy that goes up the river ahead of Marty Sheen, and you might have like one or two lines, but essentially you'll be like a glorified extra. But if you want to do it, I mean, I'm good to my word. And I said, yeah, I do. Because I realized at that point, I was so new to acting. And it's probably true of any kind of live, and it's probably true of what you do. You don't learn that stuff in the school or from books or anything. It's an apprenticeship. And I wanted to be around Marlon Brando and Dennis Hopper and just watch them work. So, yeah, I did. I hung out with Marlon a lot and learned a lot.
What, you got a good story? Can it's safe for work, or what do you think? Scott, you got anything for Marlon?
I've got a lot of stories, but you know, what I learned from Marlon was there are no rules. Sometimes he would make an expression in a mirror, freeze it, and say to Francis, okay, start shooting. And other times he would come to the set and wouldn't want to even see the script. Would just want to turn it all loose and improv it. There's a scene in the film that never made it to any of the many final cuts of that film where I killed Dennis Hopper. And I was trying to figure out different ways of doing it. And Marlon came over to me and he said, Scott, just remember this. Just because they call it acting doesn't mean you have to act. Why don't you just drop the reins a few times and see where the horse takes you? And he was a pretty amazing guy. Every dime he made on that movie, he spent rescuing a village that had been trashed by the typhoon. And then wouldn't let publicity say anything about it. So he was a pretty interesting guy.
Scott Glenn here on the Rich Eisen Show. For The Right Stuff, did you meet Alan Shepard? Did you?
No, intentionally I did not.
Huh?
Because it's my experience that when somebody knows you're going to explode their image onto a screen the size of a four-story building, even without intending to, they're going to edit themselves. I never did this, and I don't believe this story, and this is what I did do. So, no, I wanted to see as much background stuff. By that, I mean home movies, talk to people that knew him, get as much information on Alan Shepard as possible. But I didn't really want to talk to him. I realized that that in making that movie, there were going to be two people playing the part because they were going to cut back and forth between us, you know, the cast of The Right Stuff and newsreel footage. So the exterior of Shepard, I knew I had to have down. The hardest part for me of doing that part was being right-handed, because I'm very left-handed. But anyway, when the film was over, he gave me the best review I think I've ever had. My favorite, anyway.
What's that?
He sent a letter. He sent a letter to Phil Kaufman. He said, "Show this to Scott Glenn." In the letter, he says, Mr. Glenn, I just watched you play me. You got it almost perfect. There's only one thing you missed, and that is you ain't anywhere near as good looking as I am.
Is that right?
Which was perfect. I loved it. I mean, he didn't disappoint. He was Alan Shepard all the way through.
Oh, my gosh. Scott Glenn here on The Rich Eisen Show. I literally could talk to you about your movies all day. Let's move on to The Hunt for Red October. What was it like on the set there with Connery and everyone else? What was it like there for you on that one?
Well, it was the research for that film was, for me, a lot of fun and developed a relationship with I got to go out on a fast attack sub doing war games. That was the captain of the sub was at the time Captain Tom Fargo, who later became Admiral of the Pacific. And so I had that phenomenal experience. And while we were out on the boat, I watched the way that he dealt with his crew and decided rather than, you know, use whatever limited amount of talent I have, I should just steal the whole performance from him because he was perfect, which I did. Sean had a reputation of being a rough guy, and some people thought he was hard to work with. I thought he was, I loved him, and he, at the end of that film when we play chicken with a Russian attack sub.
Yes.
That scene was Sean's scene. He comes back from his shootout in the engine room, takes over the sub, and does that scene. And when we were ready to shoot, he said, no, this is Scott's scene. And the director and the producers were on the set at the time. They said, no, it's why are you saying that? And Sean said, I was in the Royal Navy. You don't give command of your vessel to someone else of equal rank and get to take it back. And he said, so Scott does this scene. And I was amazed.
Huh. No kidding. So that's how that came about. And for you as a Marine, that had to be, you know, to be around that world had to be something for you that you were fascinated into all sorts of stuff like that. Scott.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I mean, yeah, I was, am, and will be past the grave, as all Marines are
indeed.
A Marine, but enlisted. And, and I've only played officers, which I never was, nor did I ever want to be, to tell you the truth.
Well, again, I guess that's what Brando said. It's just because it's acting, you could just drop the reins a little bit and see how it goes. I got Scott Glenn here on The Rich Eisen Show. Before we get to Greenland, and I want to talk to you about a couple other movies and then maybe a little bit of sports before I let you go on your day here. When you get the script for Silence of the Lambs, did you have any idea what it would be, what it would look like, how it would actually hit the screen? What was your thoughts when you get a script from Jonathan Demme for that?
I'll tell you the truth. I don't know, you know, because it was a really well written script, but for whatever reason, I read it and just didn't see it. And threw the script across the room, it bounced off the wall. And my wife, who's a great artist, she's a potter. She walked in and she said, what's that? And I said, that's something that she said, well, who's going to direct it? I said, Jonathan Demme. And Carol said, you better read this again. Jonathan's a good friend of ours. He's a great director. Read it again. So I did. She was right. I was wrong. But I didn't have any, I don't think any of us had any sense that the film was going to be as successful, like commercially, as it was the second highest grossing film of the year, the highest being Home Alone. And I think that kind of blindsided us all because there's so much dialogue that usually a film like that does well where people speak English, but doesn't do well in you know, when it travels overseas.
Right.
And it was like number one film in Japan, number one in. And you know, looking back on it, part of it is brilliant acting, not on my part, but on Jodie Foster's and Anthony Hopkins. But I think also what makes one of the things that made that film work was you see a lot of films about the rites of passage of boyhood to manhood. I mean, you see that all the time. Very rarely do you see a film where the rites of passage are from girlhood to becoming a woman. And that's what happens in Silence of the Lambs.
Well, and in your character, though, there was no sexual tension between your character and Jodie Foster's, I think, helped that, to be honest with you, Scott. You know, like, yeah, that there was no – that she was a professional and that she was being brought in to figure out the mind of Hannibal Lecter, played by – did Anthony Hopkins blink in the movie? I don't think he blinked once, Scott. I don't think he blinked once.
I don't think so.
My gosh. And then one last one for you, Training Day. What did you like about that role and how you brought it? And your scenes with Denzel and Ethan Hawke were something else, man. What about that
well,
film?
Thank you very much.
You're
that
welcome.
To begin with, I didn't want to – I had worked pretty much – no, not pretty much, absolutely steadily for over 2 years without having any time off. Went from an off-Broadway play to a film in New Zealand that shot for 9 months, to a film that shot for 4 months in Germany, coming back, stopped off in New York, had lunch with Lasse Hallström that turned out to be a whole day, and he offered me a part in Shipping News. And I had like 3 weeks off before having to start Shipping News. I get home here in Idaho where I am, and I get an offer from Warner Brothers to do Training Day, and I said, no, I can't do it. So Denzel calls me up and he said, this is the way it works, Scott. I have to have a best friend in this film who's a white guy who I'm going to kill at the end of the film, and the whole audience, including the black audience, has to really be pissed off at me for doing it. He said, that's you. There is nobody else.
What a compliment, Scott.
We had met each other on Courage Under Fire and become friends. And Dee is absolutely one of the greatest actors alive. So anyway, I said, Denzel, I'm going to I'm going to hike up in the mountains and work out a little bit and hang out with my wife before I go to work again. And he said, no, you've got to do this. This is the way it's going to work. It's going to say Denzel Washington, Ethan Hawke in Training Day. And then right after that, it's going to say starring Scott Glenn, you only work 5 days and this is how much money you're going to make. And I said, who made that deal? And Dee said, well, I kind of did. And at the time, they thought that there was going to be a writer's strike, so the studios wanted to get as much inventory as possible. Anyway, at that point, I read the script and essentially saw two kind of amazing monologues, the second one of which ended in Denzel blowing me away with a shotgun. And just went and did it. He's so much fun to work with, and Ethan is as well. So, when you're doing that kind of work, it's not quite guilty enough to turn down the paycheck, but it's almost like you're just getting paid to have fun.
Oh, Scott Glenn here on the Rich Eisen Show. This is phenomenal. So tell me about Greenland, which is, again, available on demand everywhere today. Tell me about this one, Scott.
Well, I read the script. I got sent the script, read it, thought it was really well written, and knew the director. I didn't know Rick Waugh's work really well, but a little bit. And there's a character, a real-life character, whose last name is Waugh as well, Billy Waugh. And I wanted to talk to him to find out if they were related. If there was any way I could sort of crawl into, the possibility of playing this other character. Mm-hmm. And once I started talking to Rick, I was just impressed with the way he saw the film, which was the way that you deal with an impending disaster is just by taking care of the people close to you, to your family, making sure they're whole and well and can survive whatever's coming down the road. So, and you know, and he said in the part of the film that I was going to be in was what he said gave it its beating heart. And I love that. You know, the thing is with that movie that none of us could have figured out was that at the time we made it, none of us had ever heard the term COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Now you watch the film and you can't get it out of your head, because even though the disaster that's kind of targeted us with COVID is slow moving I don't know if you call it slow moving when you're losing 3,000 people a day, but at any rate, the resonance of what's going on the world right now with that film just gives it a kind of punch that none of us could have predicted.
And it's available on demand everywhere today. Before I let you go, Scott, you got a sports team? Favorite sport? What do you got?
Born and raised, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Go Steelers.
Aha! Uh-huh. Okay.
And the last two games have not been joyful for me. I mean, I have to tell you. I'm hoping New Orleans like kicks major ass. I'm a fan, but I think that the Steelers offense is, they got kind of beat up by a COVID schedule, and you know, when you got young receivers, I think the greatest commodity is confidence, is believing in yourself,
right?
And hopefully they'll get on paper and playing to their best numbers. The Steelers have the best defense in the NFL, and I'll stand solidly by that.
Well, I think you're nailing it in this fact, Scott, that the Chiefs, their toughest opponent the rest of the way is the one that's directly in front of them in the New Orleans Saints. And then the Steelers have a game against the Bengals on Monday Night Football. This is your best shot to get back into that one seed and hold on to it the rest of the way. This week is pretty much where the rubber meets the road for 2020 in terms of that.
You're absolutely right. But my feeling is, you know, and it's just, I mean, I don't know if there is any more, you know, crazy dedicated fans than a Steeler fan. But my sense is if they start playing to their numbers and their ability, and they run into, and hopefully they run into KC, that Mahone all of a sudden realizes he's in a world he's never been in. When Minka picks him off and scores on him twice, sacks him so hard, he can't remember what his last name is.
The right stuff, Minka Fitzpatrick. I love it. Hey, Scott Glenn, this was I could not tell you what a big fan of yours that I am, and this was a delight, literally from start to finish. I'd love to do this again whenever you're up for it. This was great. Thank you.
Well, let's do it. Thank you.
Thank you, bet. You bet. That's you, Scott Glenn, Greenland, available on demand everywhere today.
Jeez, that was
how
awesome.
How great was that?
Oh, baby, that was great.
Pittsburgh's finest.
A Marine who always has a knife on him saves Francis Ford Coppola's life. Francis is like, I want to write something in. I want to be at the end of the movie. That's the one thing I can't do. You know, Marlon's doing it. That's the reason why I'm doing it. All right, I'll write this role for you. Then Urban Cowboy, then The Right Stuff, then Silverado, Man on Fire, Hunt for Red October, Silence of the Lambs. That's the way it rolled there. And Training Day is like, I got three. I've been working my ass off. And Denzel's like, no, this is what has to happen. D. I've already made the deal for you. D.
Yeah.
D. Oh, come on. D. That was just phenomenal. I love it.
That
Let's take a break. We'll come back. Three games under the radar. Chris Brockman, sneaky good games, and send you to the weekend. Mahomes is going to get picked off by Minka to score two pick sixes twice. How about that? That's good.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
I can't tell you. I love doing this show. That was just so dynamite with Scott Glenn. And so let me just, I want to do all this in the time that we have left. Let's take this phone call quick. Jason in Vista, California. I'm sorry to only be able to give you a few seconds here. You've been hanging on so long, but we went on long with Scott Glenn. Go for it, Jason. I know.
Thanks, Rich. First time, long time.
Thanks, brother.
You guys deliver the goods. It's sad to hear you're going to be off the air after the season here.
No. We're going to take off time for Christmas, but we'll be back in the first of the year. We'll be back.
Okay.
We're not going anywhere.
Well, happy Hanukkah. I'm a fellow member of the tribe, so happy Hanukkah.
Same to you.
A tribe called Quest.
Real quick, I'll call back and tell good stories later.
Great.
One thing I got to say, hey, Chris Brockman, when you do your higher register, you sound like Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Charlie Day.
Am I the first person to notice that?
he tries to eat. I don't know.
I don't know.
It does sound very good.
I never thought about that.
Rich, real quick, I know you're up against it. Hey, lifelong Dolphins, Heat, Hurricanes fan. My dad used to take me to the Orange Bowl in the 80s during the glory years. Then I suffered through 25 years of misery to the point we're at here. And I just want to give you some hope. You've got Gase. He ruined Tannehill. Now Tannehill's playing great. And we got Tua. You have Gase. He's going to ruin Darnold. But Darnold's going to turn out great, and you guys are going to get Trevor. So I have a lot of hope for you.
Thank you.
I'll save the Ocho Cinco story for later.
Yeah. Call back next week. We got tons of time.
I sure will.
Thanks for the call, brother. Thank you. That's very very inspirational.
Charlie Day.
Yeah, Charlie Day. It's always sunny when Jason calls in from Vista, California. Okay, three games under the radar. Mike Del Tufo, give me a little bit of NFL Films music here. It's getting tougher to choose that are under the radar. This game is kind of at the bottom of the marquee. When the Seattle Seahawks pay a visit to the team that's a house of fire and is suddenly leading the NFC East, that's not really under the radar, but it is when you're compared to everything else on the marquee. Seattle needs this game in the worst way, certainly because the Rams are going to beat the Jets. They gotta get this one. They gotta come east. It's an early window game. It's a big challenge. The Washington football team is going to send Chase Young and Russell Wilson's direction. They've been terrific on the back end. That's going to be a challenge for DK Metcalf and the rest of those receivers. And this is it. This is Dwayne Haskins' biggest game because he's got to drop his Huggies. It's that simple. He's got to get all groansed up, to use the phrase, you know, that pays from Swingers. Okay, he's got a Swingers for the fence here. He's got to do it fast because earlier this year, it was just like, let's see what we've got in you. We'll take some time. And Ron Rivera basically said, that's it. We got to win this year. And you can sit and take your time and learn from everybody else. And Kyle Allen goes, and then he gets hurt. Now Alex Smith is hurt. He's got to win this game. He has to win this game. I described to you earlier in the day, if the Eagles win out and Washington loses this game, Week 17 could be for the Eagles to win this division. That's a fact. They got to get it, and it's Dwayne Haskins. You got to grow up and grow up fast against Jamal Adams and Bobby Wagner and everybody else. Big game. Bears and Vikings, it's the Sniffin' It Bowl. They're both six and seven. The winner of this will have a shot at the seventh seed. The loser of this will not. It's that simple, and it's a big division game. And then the last one that's under the radar, how will the Ravens win the proverbial should win? How will the Ravens follow up what we've seen over the Dallas Cowboys and the Cleveland Browns? How will the Ravens look after coming down off the high of winning the game of the year? And here comes Jacksonville with Gardner Minshew, baby. And I love the Ravens and I love Harbaugh, but you go, Gardner Minshew, you go, because we need you to win a football game. And we being me on behalf of the entire New York Jets fandom, that is a big game under the radar for week 15 in the National Football League. Chris Brockman, sneaky good games. Let's hit it, please.
Let's go.
Here's Chris Brockman with Sneaky Good Games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
All right, Christopher.
All right, big games, big games. I'm going to go 3 for 3. I just feel it. First up, I like the Bucks -6, Bucks Falcons. As 6 to 7
really?
Point, as 6 to 7 point favorites this year, the Bucks have won by an average of 16 points per game.
Okay.
So this is in the Bucks' wheelhouse.
It's called research, not guesswork.
I think they're going to go for it here. No Julio, so Atlanta might struggle. I like the Chiefs -3 in New Orleans. I don't think Breeze is right. The Eagles put up 24 points in Jalen Hurts' first career start against that defense, and it's going to be on the turf. Fast. Speed. What do the Chiefs have? A lot of it. I like the Chiefs to win by a touchdown. And I'm going to ride Jalen Hurts here. There's just something about this game, about the Eagles. I'm going to take the Eagles plus the points in Arizona. Arizona doesn't look right to me. They haven't looked right for about a month. And I just think the Eagles go down there with Jalen Hurts, kind of ride that momentum. I'm not saying they're going to win the game. They're going to keep it close.
That game is exciting. Oof. That game's exciting. Jalen Hurts versus Kyler Murray. Oh, man, I can't wait for it. And it all starts tomorrow with a double dip on my my network, NFL Network. Your old network, NFL Network. Mike Del Tufo still claims it as his own, even though he hasn't. When was the last time you set foot in NFL Network, Mike?
A week after I left.
Okay. Which was when? 5 years ago? No. 6 years ago? 7 years ago? 10 years ago?
How long my picture's in the guardhouse, I think.
Okay, very good. Yeah, they won't let you in.
Wow. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Bills at Broncos. Panthers and Mike Davis at Green Bay. That's Mike Saturday Davis, night. Man. And then the rest of Sunday's action. And then we'll be back here on Monday to get you ready for the Monday night football game with the Bengals hosting Scott Glenn's Pittsburgh Steelers. That was a dynamite conversation with the longtime veteran actor of so many great movies. I want to thank him, Ocho Cinco, Chris Fowler, Brian Baldinger, and you at 844-204-RICH calling in. I love that every single day. Great show, everybody.
That was awesome. What a week.
What a week.
Yeah, fun week.
Just laugh.
What a week. Like, honestly, if somebody had told me that it would end with a dynamite conversation, like you do a show 1 week where it ends with a dynamite conversation with Scott Glenn, and it would start coming off of a remarkable National Football League week that eventually culminated in the game of the year in which the flat out huge conversation across the entire nation would be about whether the reigning MVP of the league was defecating during the fourth quarter. I would say I don't believe it.
Think about what we talked about this week.
A lot of doo-doo talk, baby.
A doo-doo baby.
Going higher register, you know. So on behalf of everybody here, the small Chris Brockman and the larger than he appears TJ Jefferson and the crouching tiger Hidden Del Tufo. I am your humble host, Rich Eisen.
What are we doing?
And for all of us listening here on the Mightier 1090, enjoy Notre Dame Clemson right here this weekend. And we will see you on Monday, but we're back on Peacock in a second.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.